Together, please. I'm sure it'll be there momentarily. Okay, here we go. I stand alone in the presence of Jesus.
Wonderful, amazing thing, something we're glad about, that our Savior loved us enough to leave the splendors of heaven and come down this sin-cursed world, knowing what He'll go through, but He loved us. So let's go to God in prayer. We've got so much to pray for this morning. So many of our people are hurting. So many of the world's people are hurting. And Brother Joe's going to come pray with us, Joe Kilpatrick. And let's just lift up our hearts together to the Lord this morning. Remember those flood victims down in the Gulf Coast again, and all the fires in California, all the churches that's going through persecutions in California because they can't meet in the house of God to worship. There's a lot going on, but we have a God that's supreme. He can overrule the hearts of man. So let's trust Him this morning.
So happy to be here in the house of the Lord this morning. I hope everyone else is enjoying this little brisk weather we're having all of a sudden. But we're thankful to be here in the Lord's house today. There's a lot of places we could be, but we chose here today. I know there's a lot of people watching on TV, watching or listening on through the internet, and we're all grateful for that. Lord knows what we're doing, and thank you for being here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we're so thankful to be in your house today, God. We know that there's so many things you planned for us. There's so many things that you blessed us with, God, and we want to take the time and pause today to say thank you for those things you blessed us with. We know those blessings that you've done for us we're not even aware of yet, but one day we'll know, God. You know what's best for us, and we lean on you in that faith that you'll always guide and direct our hands so that we know that what we do is the correct thing. We always want to be an example for you here, Lord, and we just ask that you touch everyone that could be here today, those who couldn't be here, those that are away, those that are sick, afflicted, those that are shut-ins, Lord, those that can't get out, those that we are reaching out to every time we can to let them know how much they are loved and cared for. God, we just ask that you continue to touch them and help them get through the situations that they're in. The loved ones that have been sick, the loved ones that have passed, God, we just ask that you touch each and every family. Give them the grace and holy grace that they need so that they can overcome every little situation. And Lord, we just thank you once again for our pastor, for the word we're about to receive. May it bless us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Joe. Have a card of thanks to read from the family of Brother Leroy Lewis. Went on to be with the Lord recently. Knowing people nice as you gives lives a brighter touch. And so for each and all of you, thank you very much. To our church family, thanks to you for these, for your prayers, calls, and food. We love and appreciate each one of you, the family of Leroy Lewis. Remember Miss Addie and the children and grandchildren, Miss Glenda, Miss Rita, and the rest of the family as we look forward to the Lord soon coming again and get us all home together with Him. But until then, we can rejoice, we can worship, we can praise His name, and give thanks that things are just as well with us as they are. Back to the song service.
You know, the time that we live in right now is so much unrest, so much uncertainty, so much nervousness that we need a haven of rest, don't we? We need that place where we can feel secure, where we can feel peaceful, where we can feel at rest. Help me sing this song, The Haven of Rest.
My soul in sad exiles on life's slow burden with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice, and I
and sing one more song. What a day that will be.
Bye.
You may be seated. Brother Jason, come on.
Sherry, we're going to I just wanted you to know. You know, my brother used to have a birthmark on the side of his face. It almost looked like road rash. He was born with it, I mean, obviously. But it was bright red, just looked like road rash all over his face. And he, over time, it disappeared, but for the first 3 or 4 years of his life, everybody came around and asked him, what happened to his face? You know, one of the birthmarks, so to speak, of being saved is that Jesus spoke to you. And, I mean, sometimes it ought to be written all over our face. Sometimes over time, though, when we get spoken to in that first original sense, when Jesus speaks to you and saves your soul, you know, we get so excited, it's all over your face. And then over time, it seems to fade out just a little bit. I hope that doesn't happen to us. If it's inside of you, if Jesus has spoken to you, if He is speaking to you, let it be on your face with a smile, with some tears. It doesn't matter how God shows it to you, but let it be known to all men that Jesus saves. Jesus spoke to me. We're going to try something new this morning.
Doubt will ever move, and you wonder
will God make a way?
Well, tell me a time He's not been faithful. Tell me a morning His mercies weren't new. Tell me a moment that He wasn't able to carry you.
Faith and stand firm. Oh, you can be confident. The Lord keeps His promises. If you doubt, just read through His Word.
Well, tell me a
time He's not been faithful. Tell me a morning His mercies weren't new. Tell me a moment that He wasn't able to carry you through. Tell me a day He was less than almighty, when He could not roll back the tide.
Child, when you
look back, you're gonna find there was never He wasn't able to carry you through. Tell me a day He was less than almighty, when He could not roll back the tide.
Child, when you
look back, you're gonna find there was never a day less than almighty, when He could not roll back the tide.
Child, when you
look back, you're gonna find there was never a time.
Child, when you
look back, you're gonna
songs and all the singing this morning for the beauty of holiness that's in Christ our Lord. And again, we welcome everyone, all the visitors, and everyone that's in the house of the Lord this morning, all those people that's watching by way of the internet or will watch or listen by telephone. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Job. Wonderful book. This book is relevant in any generation. So much has been said, can be said, about the book of Job. And every time I read it and I'm in the car, I listen to it being read over and over and over. And every time I hear it and every time I read, God gives me new thoughts that I've never seen before, such as the case this morning. Beginning in the first chapter and the second chapter, we see it broken down in the fact that there is overcast. There is cast upon Job something that no one in this world would even think about happening to you, where you lose your family, 7 sons, 3 daughters, all your livestock, 7,000 and 3,000 herds, and then 500 yoke of oxen, on and on and on. Everything happened just like that. And that's a sad case. But then the second part of the first 37 chapters would be the consoling and comforting that his three friends came to do. It seems as though they live in different parts of the country, and somehow they had got together in letter or whatever and made appointments with one another that heard about it. Let's go comfort and console. So Eliphaz, not Eliphaz, but Bildad and Zophar and Eliphaz, they all went and they traveled there. And when they got there, the scripture says, from afar off, they saw Job in his condition. He was mourning. He was in sackcloth and ashes. And there he was, and they wept. Their voices were one of weeping and one of sorrow. And then when they got to where he was, it was even worse the closer they got. And there they sat with him on the ground 7 days and 7 nights without speaking a word. Then suddenly, it seems as though Eliphaz had started talking the conversation. And so chapters 3 through 31 is condemning and conversing with Job and back and forth. They would condemn him and he would try to justify himself. And so it went. Most of the book of Job is talking about this conversation between these three friends and Job. Just one of criticizing, one of condemning. And then we see the companion and Job rebuked by another one that had been younger in the group, Elihu. And there he had come, he had been there, and he listened to that conversation. But he started by saying, I will listen to you, you're older and wiser, and I did not talk. But then he starts criticizing and condemning Job, and he condemned those three friends also. He rebuked his companions, and Job was rebuked by their friends. And that was chapter 32, verse 37. And then some contradictory remarks and claims were made. I want to look at some of them. Chapter 2 through chapter 37. And this is the essence of the message this morning. 96 times in those chapters, chapter 2, through chapter 37. The name of God has been invoked. It's been used. It's been spoken. And that may sound good. It doesn't matter what we think about it, though, does it? But see, God was listening to all of that. And the whole book of Job to me has come alive in the fact that, yes, Job suffered. Yes, his family died and he lost everything. But the real major thing in everything, in the book of Job, to me, everything's important, is the fact that they are criticizing and condemning and talking about things that God said they didn't know what they were talking about. So it's relevant today in the society in which we live. Things are happening. We have all this pandemic. We have all the actions politically and otherwise in the world, and we talk about it. And you may not say the word God, but really the emphasis is, what's God got to do with it? Is God standing there idly? Is he aware of a situation? And so let's look at in that aspect this morning, and we're going to look at chapter 37, when God speaks. 37 chapters now, we've been looking at situations, and we've been hearing, and 96 times in those chapters, not even the first 2 chapters, but the conversation was going about God did this, and God did this, and all this is, and God said, who is man that is darkened knowledge? So we're going to look at the fact that when God speaks. I want to look at these contradictory remarks again. The contradictory remarks and claims that was made by Elihu. And let's turn your Bibles, please, and look at one particular one. And we're going to read that. And Elihu says, also, Elihu also proceeded and said, suffer me a little. And he's going to give a great discourse. Suffer me a little, and I will shew thee that I have yet to speak on God's behalf. All that I'm going to say, you four, you three friends, Eliphaz and Zophar and Bildad, all that I'm going to say, and Job, you listen carefully. All I'm going to speak is on God's behalf. God's listening. One thing that really disturbs me, it may not disturb you, but it does me. Sometimes you read a church sign. I remember reading one somewhere one time. And they sign God's name at the bottom. He didn't say that. Oh, it sounds good. But he might have said it. And the sign said something like this. Come over to my house and join me this Christmas Eve. Then at the bottom, they contribute and write the name God. Well, see, that sounds easy enough. It sounds good enough. I wouldn't attribute and put God's name to anything he didn't say. Eliphaz, Zophar, and Bildad already proclaimed, even Job, 96 times in these chapters, about God doing this and God doing that. And then Elihu had the nerve to say, what I'm going to say is behalf of God. Well, maybe it is, and maybe it isn't. But the main thing is what does God say about it? That's what we're going to dwell on this morning. Look at verse 1 of chapter 38. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, God's listening. He's aware of every situation. They would try to analyze why this had happened. Well, God told us why it happened. Satan didn't think that God would stand the test, and he accused Job before God and said, if you'll let me touch him, he'll curse you. And so it was a time, yes, of tempting, and God permitted it. God allowed it. So when you try to rationalize and when you're trying to think all this happening, where was God in it? Let's just let him speak. Let's just let him tell us about some things that may set our mind at ease a lot of things. Because he answered Job, and he spoke to him out of the whirlwind. Let's look at that. So let's look, number one, the spokesperson is the Lord, L-O-R-D, capital. It means Lord Jehovah, the existing one, the proper name of the one true God. This is the one that's doing the speaking. The Lord spoke to Job out of the whirlwind. Let's look at the first time God uses that name, identifies itself. Now we know in the beginning God, but that's different. This is the Lord, L-O-R-D. It's the same one, of course, but God identifies itself in different ways. There's Jehovah God and there's Elohim God. But this time he's using Jehovah God. The first time he mentions it, let's read those accounts together, and it's going to help us understand everything that he's going to speak to Job in this. Let's look at this together in Genesis 2, verse 4. These are the generations of the heaven and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God, that's the first time he uses it in the Word of God, remember the first mention. He mentions a word, opens up a whole territory of special meaning. First mention that the Lord God made the earth and the heaven. Then look what follows. Verse 5, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. There went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And here's a word again. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Third time. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God, to grow every tree that is pleasant to sight and good for food. the tree of life, also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So let's look now at Job chapters 38, 39, and 40 and see how the Lord starts opening up and telling us about the whirlwind and how he spoke to the whirlwind. Another interesting case. So we've seen the spokesperson that we're going to be listening to, paying attention to, is the Lord, Jehovah, the existing one, the one true God. And he lets them know in verse 2 that this situation that they had been debating for several days now, Job was wrong, and now the friends were wrong because they criticized according to Elihu. And now they're going back and forth, and they 96 times say God did this and God did that. And then the Lord God speaks from the whirlwind. Look at verse 2 again. The situation that they had been considering was going to be solved by the Lord God. Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? He answered and responded to them. Now, they had been spit a lot of words and a lot of accusations, making a lot of comments and a lot of accusing down the line. And they even attributed God in the wrong way of doing certain things. God's standing not idly by. He's still taking care of everything else, but he's observing. Don't you know that God is observing you? He's observing me. He's observing all the churches of the land and all the judges of the land, all the governors of the land, everyone that's in power today. Not only of this pandemic, that's just one thing. Everything that's going on, God is on this throne. He not only hears the words we say, he knows the thoughts we think. And God spoke out of the whirlwind. Interesting thing. Let's look at that thought. Speaking from the whirlwind. Let's go back in the Word of God and see other times that the whirlwind is mentioned in the precious Word of God. We're going to learn something by it. 24 times in 22 verses, he uses that term whirlwind. We won't look but a couple of them. Let's look at the conditions some of them were used and the people that were involved in it. All tied together. First of all, let's look at the clarification about the creation. Job chapter 38, verses 1 through 21. He's going to clarify now in these verses. We won't have time to read them all, of course. We're trying to move as fast as we can. After he had let him know that they were talking without knowledge, he said, "Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thy me. Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if I have understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut up the sea with doors when it break forth as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof and thick darkness swaddling band for it and break up for it my decree place and set bars and doors and said, hitherto shall that come, but no feather that shall that proud ways be stayed." On and on. But God is talking to us about the creation, the creator. It really puts down the evolutionist, doesn't it? So the world today, many, many of them are being taught, they're being trained about evolution, which says God had no part in it. God's listening to all their conversations. He knows their thoughts. But here's my thoughts. Anyone that's not smart enough to understand and believe the Word of God and know that God formed everything, he said he did, and he did, and then that person, I wouldn't listen to a preacher preach one second that didn't believe that God is the creator. Therefore, I would be skeptical of going to a surgeon to operate on me that says he studied and knows the body in surgery if he didn't believe the basic facts that God is the one that created it. On, you can go. And this is what God says now. He is laying straight and he is clarifying about the creation that he created. Not only that, now he's speaking from the whirlwind. Who's speaking? The Lord God, the self-existent one, God the Creator. Not only that, but he is concerned and concerning himself with the control of all the universe. No, not only did God create it and put it all in motion, as we read back in Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, and through 7, when he let us know that this Lord God, this same one that's speaking out of the whirlwind, that was the Creator. Now he is a Creator God. He's letting us all know that, Job and all his three friends. Am I not the Creator? But he's letting us know about the controls he has over his situation, all his creation. Let's begin reading again at verses 22 through verse 41. Now he is kindly switching in not only the creation, but concerning control of the creation. God was not only big enough to create it all, but he controls it all. That means he's in charge of every situation in your life and mine, in the affairs of America and the affairs of the world. God has not relinquished control of anything. Verse 22, hath thou entered into the treasures of the snow, or hath thou seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war? And by what way is the light parted, which shineth the east wind into the earth? Who has divided a water course for the overflowing of waters, or a way for the lightnings of thunder? Who controls the lightnings of thunder? I read recently where the governor of Washington State says God had nothing to do with these lightnings. God just spoke and said he did. So God is letting us know. See, not only was it relevant to Job, Bildad, Eliphaz, Zophar, and Elihu, is relevant to the world today. He's letting us know, I'm the Creator, I'm still in control. That gives me great comfort, because I don't have to worry about a lot of things I would worry about otherwise. In fact, I don't have to worry about anything, because I belong to him. I'm under his control. And from the whirlwind now he is speaking. We're going to look more about that just in a few minutes. But let's pick up in verse 26. To cause it to rain on the earth, where no man is, on the wilderness, wherein there is no man. I'm sure everyone, probably including me, has wondered. Here we have in the Gulf Coast, one after another, flooding. And just several miles on the west coast, far, destruction, tornado. And would we dare say, where was God? He's in control. We don't have to understand it, but he is in control. Don't blame him for doing anything wrong, because that would be an impossibility. God has done right, God is doing right, and God will do right. That we know. Who reigns all across the world. But let's keep reading. Verse 29. Out of whose womb came the ice and the hoary frost of heaven? Who hath gendered it? The waters are hid as with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. Can't that bind the sweet influence? Pestles loose the bands of Oron? Can't that bring forth Mazaroth in his season, or cast a god Arcturus with his sons? Knoweth thou the ordinances of heaven? Can't thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? On and on. He lets us know over and over. Just read these whole chapters, 38, 39, 40. We won't have time, and see how God is creator, God is control. Now, if he's in control, that answers all the questions. These four people, five now, because we have Job included, have been asking questions, And God appears on the scene, speaking from the whirlwind, identifies himself. The spokesman is the Lord God. He's telling us the situation that they're going through would soon be resolved. And he spoke out of the whirlwind. Let's explore that thought a little farther. First of all, concerning the controls, but now I want to look at the cure he has for his servants. One time he spoke in 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 and verse 11. And he used a whirlwind to accomplish this feat. It lets us know that God still has care for his servants. Elijah is the subject. He'd been ridiculed. He'd been mocked. He'd been rejected. All of the prophesying that he had said. Jezebel, in fact, said she was going to destroy him and claim his life. Let's see what God does. Verse 1, chapter 2, 2 Kings. And it came to pass when the Lord, it's the same word, capital of L-O-R-D, the one existing one, Jehovah, would take up Elijah into heaven by whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal, letting him know ahead of time that God's going to deliver him and take care of his servant through a whirlwind. Who? The spokesman. The Lord God. The creator. The controller. The caregiver. Oh, but look at verse 11. Now, since he said it's going to happen, then you know it's going to happen. And verse 11 says, and it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Who speaks through a whirlwind? The Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth, chariot fire, caring for his servant Elijah, to get him out of this troubled world. He's rejected, ridiculed, despised. Yet he had power with God. Not only he demonstrates that he is the caregiver, but he talks about coming judgments through the whirlwind. Let's look at Hosea chapter 8 and verse 7. God talks about coming judgments to the world in which you and I live and the whole world. What world is that? Rejectors of God, despisers of Christ, making rulings against Christ and his church. But there's coming judgments. Supreme Court can't do anything about it, at least they haven't. Our First Amendment rights of protecting their freedom of worship, done away with. But let's look at the coming judgment. See, God's still in control. He says, I'm the creator, I'm the controller, I'm the one that's still in control. Let's look what he's up to in Hosea chapter 8, verse 7. For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. Ooh. That's where the Lord God, the creator, the controller, the caregiver, speaks. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the stranger shall swallow it up. Nahum, chapter 1 and verse 3. Another judgment that is coming, a coming judgment through the whirlwind. The Lord, that's the same word again always, is slow to anger, great in power. Where's the Lord God during all the despising and rejecting and denying and evolutionists and God had no part, nothing? He's still on the throne. He's soon coming. And here's the proclamation. The Lord is slow to anger. He's put up with a lot. And great in power, has it diminished or decreased his power one a little bit. And will not at all acquit the wicked. Here's the word again. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. So all the storms and all the fires and all the pandemics and everything that's going on, the Lord is in control. If I know that, and I do, it should make my conversation. Because remember, the Lord is doing a lot of rebuking now to Job and his four friends. Well, let's look at chapter 40. Got to come down to the end of it. There's going to be a command to give an answer. We've heard, and God has spoken. And now those four and us two are standing all at the Lord God control all this. Yeah, he permitted Satan to do all these terrible things. Didn't diminish his power any. Why did he do it? For a lot of reasons. One is to teach you and I that God in his judgment, he takes care of his people. He ended up taking care of Job. Let's look at chapter 40, verses 6 through 9. Then answered the Lord unto Job, have the whirlwind again, and said, gird up thy loins like a man. I will demand of thee, and declare that thou unto me wilt thou also disallow my judgments? Will thou condemn me that thou mayest be righteous? Is that an arm like God? Or can't that thunder with a voice like him? Did all let Job know and these friends know, I'm the creator. Let us know how I create everything, the heavens, the earth. I guess when I was a little guy in school and they told us that the earth was round, you know, I would, you know, this is just simple-minded me. I would hold up a glass of water and say, well, that fell out. How come the water on the bottom side of the ocean don't fall out? Well, he let us know. He takes care of all that. He put bounds on it. You know, whatever God did, his gravitational force. It's amazing how God's controlled it all. Don't worry, he's got it all under control. Just the simple things of life. And then we read how all the animal life and everything, he is in control. But he was really concerned enough to speak that these four people, actually five count Elihu, had spent all this time conversing and condemning and accusing and stating things about God that they did not know. God wasn't happy one little bit. But we're in the world today and a lot of the same things is going on. Don't we know and aren't we assured that God is in control? Let's read some more scripture in chapter 40. It's a beautiful, beautiful illustration. Let's pick up in verse 9, chapter 40. Hath thou an arm like God, or canst thou thunder with a voice like him? Deck thyself now with majesty and excellence, and array thyself with glory and beauty. Canst thou brawl the rage of thy wrath, and behold, every one that is proud, and the base himself? Look on every one that is proud, and bring him low, and tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together and bind their faces in secret. Then will also confess unto thee that thine own right hand can save thee. Let man know that he can hardly do anything, but it's the right hand of God that can accomplish. Then let's skip down to verse 22. The shady trees cover him with their shadow. The willows of the brook can pass him about. Behold, he drinketh up a river, and hasteth not. He trusteth that he can draw up Jordan with his mouth. He taketh it with his eyes. His nose pierceth through snares. He's talking about one of his animals. He illustrates several of his different created animals and telling us about their traits, their desires, their wisdom. Why? Because God gave everything, not only the heavens and the earth, and man and all the beasts. He's the creator of every single thing. We don't understand it all. And in closing, let's look at the last chapter. God has done so much for every one of us. Job has lost a lot. But since he's trusting the Lord, he's God, God's going to restore him and take care of him. Let's look at chapter 42 in closing. Misty and Natalie and Jason, you have a song. Get ready, please. Look what he says in verse 42, verses 1 through 8. Then Job answered the Lord and said, he's listening to God doing a lot of speaking. He hadn't said a whole lot. I know that thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee. He knows all my thoughts, Job said. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thy unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and repent, and dust and ashes. God speaking through the whirlwind, and those five stood still and listened, nothing to say, except one thing. I abhor myself, I repent. You're right, God, and I'm wrong. God tries the thoughts of man. He hears everything that's going on. He sees everything that's going on. And he has reassured us this morning in the precious word of God. He is the creator, all of the universe, all the stars of heaven. He's on the throne. He's soon coming. We're soon going. But we need to repent when we're wrong. Look at verse 7. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore, take unto you now seven bullocks and seven rams, and go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after my folly, and that ye have not spoken to me of the thing which is right, like my servant Job. God's saying there's one way. Repentance. Sacrifices. But thank God the sacrifices have been paid by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord God sent his son unto the world to redeem fallen man. And the reason Job now is going to be heard of God is because he had repented and he had confessed that I was wrong and you're right. And God was able and willing to forgive. Now that he has forgiven Job, what's the next thing on the agenda? For him to pray for some others that haven't asked yet. You and I are getting right with God, and hopefully we can get right with God in our hearts. We're implying, are you implying that I'm not right? I'm not, but the Holy Spirit's searching her heart. And if he searches her heart and we're not right with him, then that's between you and him. But once we get right with him, and we can, by the way of repentance, then our job is to pray for all those other people that still believe that God wasn't the creator, that he's not the controller. And now Job has a task. Is it going to be hard for him? They have sat there for days, critical, putting him down, finding fault when there was no fault, even accusing God. And he's going to be willing. Yes, he prayed for them. Your job and mine is not only to get ourselves right with God, but to get to a place, and that is now, that we can pray for those others that aren't right in their land and in the world. Would you stand, your heads bowed, come sing a song of invitation that God puts on your heart. God hath spoken through his word. Job heard. Prayerfully, hopefully, we will hear. We'll stop trying to analyze who did what. And how's it going? God the creator, God the controller. That's probably all we're going to know about it. But the real thing we need to learn and know is he's right. And we need to get right. Job learned that. No more fussing, no more fuming, no more complaining did any of them do. But now they're praying that God would intercede. And he did. And restored. This morning, the altar is open. If you're not saved, the Lord's soon coming. Let's get our hearts right with God. If you're not saved, would you please come? Say, God, I'm a sinner. Would you save me? He's going to say, yes, I died to save you. And all you have to do is accept what they've already done. Listen as they sing, altars open. God has been, and is, and always will be faithful. Thank you for that beautiful song. It's perfect. God's in control. But I wonder if we will submit to that. We must submit to the Lordship. He has spoken. Man has listened. At least they did in Job. I would to God that the world today would listen when He speaks to us in His Word. Don't have a lot to worry about, do we? on minds and hearts are clear this morning. Still have people in the altar. That's wonderful. Your services tonight. Thank you for coming. All the visitors, appreciate you being here with us this morning. The ushers are back at the back with their offering plates as you leave, but then your tithes, your offering, the visitors' cards for the visitors. We're so thankful you're here with us this morning. We have a lot to be thankful for. Let's thank God and give Him thanks. He's done so much for us, protected us, shielded us, give us reason. But we have so many in our congregation aren't here this morning. They're not able to be here. They would be here, many of them, if they could. So let's pray for them and the world and all those people hurting everywhere. Just pay us not to attribute things to God that He didn't say or do. Really pay us not to question what He is doing. He knows what He's doing. We can trust Him. We can trust Him. Brother Gunn, would you come?
I just want to say this morning, thank God for His faithfulness, for His goodness, for His mercy. Thankful we have opportunity to pray, call upon our Savior Jesus Christ. Have a card to read before we dismiss tonight. It says, "Dear church family, God bless all of you for your acts of kindness, expressions of sympathy during this difficult time. We sincerely appreciate all the calls, cards, texts, prayers, Bibles placed in the honor of my grandma. It means so much to my church family. Love, Samantha Lance family." Let's remember Sister Samantha and the Huntley families there. Difficult time. Have one other announcement. This morning. Nominating committees asked me to remind the following committees, all the ushers, building grounds, media and sound, and a nominating committee. If you've been newly elected or if you're on these four committees, if you'll come forward after the service for just a few minutes, Misty will tell you where to go, and we'll try to be very short with that. So,
I just wanted to say I've had a prayer for quite a few years now. I've been praying for a certain thing for several years now, and God answered it. So, just want to thank God for that.
Amen, brother. Amen. Amen.
There's prayers. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank You this morning for Your mercy, for Your grace. We want to thank You this morning for Your faithfulness, for Your tender mercies. Father, for Your loving kindness. We thank You this morning, Father, that You still say, "O sinners," that this blood of Jesus Christ can wash away all the sin stains. Lord, I pray this morning, if there's one in our midst that's never accepted You as Christ, has never bowed their head, humbled themselves, and called upon Your name, Lord, You'd give them another chance, another opportunity. Lord, we thank You for the message this morning, for the songs that were sung, for each and every one, the visitors You sent by the way. I thank You for them, Lord. God, I pray, Father, You'd bring us back safely tonight. Thank You for the beautiful weather You've given us. We love You and we bless You, Lord, for all You've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay. Appreciate you, brother. Hey, my brother.
How are you?
Doing all right. And you?